Okay. So, once again, we're glad to be here. I have a something I want to, I especially want to bring this to the young people. There aren't a lot of young people, but we do have a few. See? The ones up here that I can keep my eye on. There's a young person right back there waving his hand in front of his bald head. Hey? And there are a couple back there, three, let's see. I don't know. There you go. They're back there. So this is a sermon that, and we'll let the adults listen. Because they may need it too. Here, what if at school, I mean, you guys are going to the feast, you're keeping Sabbath, you're not eating pork. You ever have anybody at school think that that was a little strange, or they were too polite to say that's a little strange that you're doing that? And here's my question to you. When people hear that we do that, that you do that, often one of the responses is, well, that's Jewish, or that's Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant, and we don't have those old physical laws. Now, that maybe a lot of kids wouldn't say that, but the ones who really go to some of the churches that actually have the Bible will often say, we are New Covenant, those things no longer apply to us because we're under the New Covenant. And under the New Covenant, we can eat ham and bacon and shrimp and catfish, and we keep Sunday. And we aren't under those old covenant laws. So maybe even some adults, what would you say? Mr. Petty made an astute observation. He said, our young people, and he said this to our congregation, so it wasn't something he just said to me. He said, and may have said it here. He said that our kids have grown up keeping the Sabbath and the holy days and the laws of clean and unclean, and they believe in it. They believe that's true. But probably they've never been challenged on it. And what will happen when someone who's good and astute challenges them on it, if they've never been challenged on it? So I want to ask you and go through today, what would you know? You may not be able to give them the scriptures or change their mind. But how about your mind? What would you think? And I want to ask, where is the New Covenant first mentioned in the Bible? Where is the New Covenant first mentioned in the Bible? Anybody want to make a suggestion? Where it's first mentioned in the Bible, the New Covenant? Well, it's actually in the Old Testament. Now, some would say it was mentioned to Adam and Eve. But you can't prove that. It sounds like it, though, where he said that Satan, you know, your seed will bruise Satan's head. But I want to go to the one that's absolutely sure. And to first see that, though, before we go there, I want to go to the place in the New Testament that most pastors who are trying to do away with the Sabbath and the holy days, and clean and unclean, we'll go to. That's Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 8. Here it tells us about the new covenant was given to Abraham. The new covenant, clearly provable, was given to Abraham. That's going back a long ways, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith." Often people will say, "Do you believe in the law or grace? Do you believe in the law or faith? Works or faith?" Well, here it says, talks about faith. "Foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel," that is the good news, that's the new covenant, "to Abraham beforehand, saying," quote, all right, here's the gospel. Here is the good news of justification through faith. "To Abraham," and here quoting the Old Testament, in chapter of Genesis 12. We'll go there in a little bit. It says, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." Now that is talking about his descendant, Jesus Christ. And so it is through him and his descendant, Jesus Christ, all nations will be blessed. And that's talking about God justifying the nations by faith. Now, if you'll look down at verse 16, of Galatians 3. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds," plural, "as of many, but as of one. And to your seed," who is Christ. So here we see in the very chapter that they try to use, I'm not going to go through the book of Galatians right now. That would be another sermon, Galatians 3. But I want you to see that the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, the seed, singular, of the new covenant, was first made to Abraham. And we'll go back to it in a moment. But before we do, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 42. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 42. And verse 1. Now, so far this has been pretty simple, hasn't it? I mean, the promise of the new covenant of salvation, of grace, good news, first made to Abraham. And in him and his seed, all nations would be blessed. Through him. And that was Jesus Christ. So Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, it talks about that servant Jesus Christ. God says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one," that's Jesus. Notice they have in your Bible, an elect, the E is capitalized, and the one, the O is capitalized. That's because they know this is talking about deity, Jesus Christ, God, "in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." So the promise of the new covenant to the Gentiles comes through Jesus Christ. Drop down with me to verse 4. Verse 4. "He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth." That's Jesus. "And the coastlands shall wait for his law." So there is law involved in Jesus Christ when he comes the second time. He's going to bring law as far as the coastlands. And now drop down to verse 6. Verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Still talking about the Messiah, Jesus. And will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you, I'm going to give Jesus as a covenant to the people. Now, remember we're talking about the old covenant and new covenant? Jesus is the new covenant. And he's going to give him, Jesus, as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Now, if we go to chapter 49 of Isaiah, and we'll read one more verse, and then we'll go back to Genesis 12, where the new covenant is first mentioned. But first, Genesis 49 and verse 6. Okay, I'm looking up to see. Yes, there's a young man in the back, and he's paying, two of them, they're paying attention. All right. That makes me feel, now, the others I can, I mean, if, for those whose family has forced them to sit up here in the second row, notice you have to get here early to get the back row. See? But the front row, absolutely verboten. You wouldn't want to sit there. As far as you can get away, you know. Anyway, but I can see these, see, keeping my eyes on them. Genesis 49, verse 6. Indeed, he says, speaking once again to Jesus, the servant of God the Father, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, that is Israel? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And to restore the preserved ones of Israel, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation, that's the new covenant, to the ends of the earth. Now, Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And as we go there, I want to ask another question. Why do we call the Old Covenant the Old Covenant and the New Covenant the New Covenant? They were both promised at the same time. Not only promised at the same time, they were both promised in the same sentence. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Why do we call one old and one new? We do. It's not because of when they were promised. They were both promised at the same time, Genesis 12, in the same sentence. We'll start in verse 1. Genesis 12, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this is even before his name was changed to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. You know what that is? That's the old covenant. I'll make you a great nation. The promise was to Abraham's seed, to through Israel, the old covenant. I'm going to make you physically a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. Now that's old covenant. The promise of physical blessing to Abraham and to his seed. And then he says, and, continuing the sentence, And this was quoted by the Apostle Paul. This is what we read that the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, talking about the covenant, the new covenant. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Paul said in Galatians 3 that that is the good news. That's the gospel. That through the seed, the one seed, which it doesn't mention right here, the one seed, but this is the first. So here in the same sentence, God gives the old covenant and the new covenant. Why do we call one old and the other new? And we do. The Bible calls one old and one new. So I'm not saying that's wrong. It's not because of when they were promised, or as if they were promised to two different guys. It's when the promise was fulfilled. One was fulfilled old, long time ago, through Moses. The other was fulfilled later through Jesus. And God told Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet like you. Moses brought the old covenant and fulfilled it. He brought them out of Egypt. Well, Joshua really finished fulfilling it. Took them to that promised land that he had promised. And made them a great nation. Jesus brought and fulfilled the new covenant. But not for everybody. That's still, you know, all of this, even old and new, is yet to fully be fulfilled. Even the old is yet to fully be fulfilled. But let's turn to chapter 17 and verse 2. Chapter 17 and verse 2. Here he is speaking to Abram. His name is going to be changed to Abraham. And he says in verse 2, chapter 17, verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, these two covenants, we saw two covenants in chapter 12. Sometimes we refer to them as the covenant of race and the covenant of grace. Both made to the same man, Abraham. But one was racial, his physical seed, his race, and the other was grace. To all human beings, every nation would be blessed through him. Look at then verse 4, chapter 17, verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now see, in chapter 12, he just said, I'll make you a great nation. Now here he is expanding it. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then in verse 10, chapter 17, verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Now here's the interesting thing in chapter 17 where he introduces circumcision as the sign of the covenant. Nothing is mentioned in chapter 17 about the new covenant. Chapter 17 only mentions the promises of the old covenant, where physical circumcision is introduced. The physical covenant, the old covenant, is the only one mentioned of race in this chapter. And he changes his name to Abraham. In this chapter. Now, if we go to chapter 22, but nothing in chapter 17 about grace. chapter 22, verse 17 and 18. Two covenants, old and new. We're going to examine the two because the two are mirror images of each other. They reflect each other. One, though, is physical and the other is spiritual. They both have a tabernacle. They both have Passover. There's the physical Passover of a lamb, and then there's the spiritual Passover of a lamb, Jesus Christ. They both have, they reflect each other very well. Chapter 22, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, in blessing, now he's talking to Abraham. Abraham had just offered, was willing to offer his son, Isaac. He says, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. Now you'd say, are there as many descendants as stars of heaven? There's another place where he says that if you could count the stars, then you could count your seed. It isn't that they will be the exact number. I don't know. Through the years, there may eventually, you know, into billions of years from now, there may be. But I don't know what God's going to do. But he says that if you could count the stars, then you can count your descendants. I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. That is, if you could count one, you'd count the other. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Now that is the covenant of race. That's the old covenant. Verse 18. Now here's where he mentions the seed. And what did we read in Galatians 3? It's speaking of Jesus. So now he's going to mention the covenant, the new covenant. In your seed, that's Jesus, according to Paul, in Galatians 3, verse 16, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, I want you to notice something. He mentions in verse 18, the new covenant, the covenant of grace. And what was it dependent upon? Obedience. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And God repeats that. When you get to Genesis 26, verses 3 through 6. Genesis 26. Now, he's not talking to Abraham here. He's talking to his son, Isaac. So, he's talking to the one through whom both covenants passed. The old and new covenant. Both of them. Went from Abraham to Isaac and then to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And then after Jacob, the covenants were divided. And one of them went to Joseph of the old covenant. But the new covenant and all the children. But the new covenant specifically to Judah and his descendants, through whom we have the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But here in chapter 26, starting in verse 3, he tells Isaac, sojourn in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, this is the covenant of race, the old covenant, I give all these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. Now, what has he talked about so far? The covenant of race, the old covenant. But then he gives the covenant of grace to him. And in your seed, that's Jesus, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. There's the promise of grace. That's the new covenant. Because, verse 5, notice this, both covenants are dependent upon obedience. To what? Because Abraham obeyed my voice, that is, in offering his son, and kept my charge. Notice also, my commandments. Got that? That's the Sabbath, the holy days. Clean and unclean. Not commit adultery. My statutes and my laws. And my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So he stayed there. That's near Gaza. That's, you hear about the Gaza Strip? That's near Gaza. Now, the works of Moses were a type of Jesus and pointed to the new covenant. And I want to look at that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Now, sometimes people think, get this now, they think the old covenant began with Moses. Not true. Moses merely began to fulfill the promise of the old covenant. Didn't begin at the time of Moses. Began with Abraham. And you'll notice that even here. Exodus 2, we'll read verse 23 through 25. Exodus 2, verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. Now notice this. And God remembered his covenant. Not a different covenant. With Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Notice this. God took them out of Egypt because he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the new covenant. See, the reason we call one old is because one was fulfilled long time before the new one was fulfilled. But they were promised at the same time to the same man. And they reflect each other perfectly, and they're based on the same laws. The exact same laws. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. So, the Passover is the same. The new covenant and the old covenant, both of them, we came out of Egypt. Both of them, there was baptism. They went through the Red Sea, which it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, was a type of baptism. So they were baptized. We're baptized. The Old and New Covenant both have baptism. Now, as you go through this, chapters 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24 are where God confirms the covenant. And it includes the Ten Commandments and some other laws, part of the Old Covenant. So he confirms the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant of race. That's the Old Covenant. It had the law, so does the new. Same law, only it's spiritual. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 18. Do you think, and I understand, if somebody at school comes up and says to you, why are you guys still keeping the old covenant when we have the new? That they are not going to sit down and listen to you go through all these scriptures. Now that would be nice, but it's not likely to happen. You know, my neighbors, people, I'm in a milk co-op, and we'll be going to Feast Tabernacles. And I'll say, well, we're leaving for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they'll give me a strange look, like, Feast of Tabernacles? All of these people go to church. Some of them very zealous in going to church. And they look at me like, Feast of Tabernacles? They've never heard it. And I say, well, Jesus kept the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7. Really? And in Zechariah 14, it says that when he returns, he's going to make everybody on earth keep it. Really? I've had actually one lady in our milk co-op was so interested, she said, I'd like to know more about that. So I got her the booklets. And we have two booklets on them. One proving that you need to keep it and the other what the meaning. And then she wanted to know more, and I got her the booklet on the Sabbath. And she said, I'd really like to have you come over and sit down and explain what in the Old Testament we should be keeping and what we don't have to. Come over for dinner. Then she didn't say anything more about it. And she said, well, my husband says that we do not want our son to be different at school. We don't want people to think that he's strange. So that, there you go. Wide's the gate that leads to destruction. Broad's the way. Many enter therein. Narrow's the gate and difficult the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. So, is it so strange that there's just this little group? Now, I'm not saying we're the only little group keeping the Sabbath in Murfreesboro, but there aren't a lot of people. So if you feel like we're kind of strange and your friends at school think we're kind of strange, yes, we are. So was Jesus. Where did I get to? Deuteronomy 18. And verse 15. Here is where Moses says to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Notice the P is capitalized because the translators knew that was talking about Jesus. Like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And he will put my words in his mouth. Jesus in the book of John said over and over, I didn't come with my message, but what the Father told me to say is what I say. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Then I want to go to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 4. So when Jesus came as a prophet, by the way, it's in Acts chapter 3. Maybe we'll have time to read that, maybe we won't. But where Peter said that prophet like Moses was Jesus. Very clearly explained that in Acts chapter 3. But here in Deuteronomy 30, in verse 4, he's telling them that they're eventually going to go out because of disobedience and be scattered. He says, if any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, that is when Jesus returns, and from there he will bring you. And drop down to verse 6. Notice what's going to happen when Jesus comes down and he brings them back from captivity. Notice what's going to happen. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. That's New Covenant. Even girls have to be circumcised in their heart. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart. That's New Covenant. And the heart of your descendants. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Jesus called that the first commandment, the greatest commandment. Notice, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Now look at verse 8. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do what? When they're circumcised in their heart. All his commandments which I command you today. Verse 10. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. Like chapter 5, which has the Ten Commandments. And of course, it also contains the holy days, the laws of clean and unclean. The new covenant, the promised new covenant, when the hearts are circumcised, includes keeping the laws of Deuteronomy. And really, when he says, written in this book of the law, that is an expression the Jews understood to mean the first 5 books of the Bible. So, New Covenant, both the Old and the New contain the laws that are written in the Book of the Law. So, when your heart's circumcised, you'll keep it if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's New Covenant. Because he says that he'll circumcise your heart. So, we're talking about the New Covenant. Notice in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. I will read it. I was about to just skip it. But we'll go to Daniel. Chapter 9, verse 26. Jesus came to confirm the covenant. Daniel 9, verse 26, 27. By the way, the Hebrew in these two verses is very difficult, because what's difficult is to figure out what person is the antecedent. When you have a pronoun, in English, normally, the antecedent is the person mentioned just before that pronoun. That wasn't always true in Hebrew, and that makes it confusing. Sometimes it was somebody before that is the antecedent of the pronoun. Daniel 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, that's not talking of Jesus. That's talking about the bad prince. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And who is that? Well, most translators, most commentators believe that's speaking of the one before their Messiah, not the prince, not the evil prince, who confirms the covenant for a week. Now, in the 70 weeks prophecy, each day equals a year. Jesus was given 1 week to confirm the covenant, but he was cut off in the midst of the week, so he only got 3.5 years, which means he's got 3.5 years yet to come to confirm the covenant with the earth. So it may take him 3.5 years to pacify the earth. Take away the rain, send plagues, say, come up, keep these tabernacles. And you'd say, well, I'm not sure if that's the meaning. But it goes on, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, that is his death, not by just going and removing it by force. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. That's talking about the evil prince. Let me just read. The New Bible Commentary says this about these verses. The implication is that the covenant is already in existence. See, Jesus did not bring a covenant that it was not in existence. It was the new covenant, not because it wasn't already promised to Abraham, but because it hadn't been fulfilled. The implication is that the covenant is already in existence. That is, ever since Genesis chapter 12. And that its terms and conditions are now to be made effective. That is, when Jesus died, it made it effective. Who is the one that causes the covenant to prevail? The covenant which is to prevail is the covenant of grace, wherein the Messiah, by his life and death, obtains salvation for his people. So the explanation I gave you of these two verses is the generally accepted explanation. He came to confirm a covenant, not to bring a new, brand new one. It's new because it was fulfilled and confirmed newer than the old. John was asked if he was that prophet, but he said no. That was like Moses. Are you that? That's what the Jews call Moses, the prophet to come like Moses. Are you that prophet? And he said no. But Acts 3 says it was Jesus. Now, I don't have time to read all the verses in the Old Testament, but I do want to read a few. Ta-da, we got a little time, got 15 minutes. I want to read in Jeremiah 31. Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, it shows that the New Covenant contains the same laws as the Old Covenant in a spiritual, renewed way. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Here is talking about the new covenant. What laws are in the new covenant? Well, I say it's the same laws. God told Jeremiah the same thing. So you may not trust me, but we can trust God and Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So here, God calls it the new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Why is it different? My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Here's the new covenant. I will put my law in their minds. There's the difference. Same law. What law would Jeremiah have thought he was talking about? What law would Judah have thought when Jeremiah said this to them? I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That doesn't sound like doing away with the law. So, if you're accused of being old covenant, let me just tell you, people who do not keep the law do not have the new covenant. They may say, we have the new covenant. Well, do you keep the laws of that covenant? If they're not keeping the laws of the Bible, they're not keeping the new covenant. You are keeping the new covenant when you keep the Sabbath. See, is it impolite to point? See? How often has that poor girl had my finger pointed at her? Debbie, clean your room. See, that's the nice thing about grandchildren. I don't tell them to clean their room. I don't tell them to do their homework. I don't tell them to give me your phone. See, I don't have to do that. I can just love them, kiss them, hug them. I'm a nice guy. Grandma's nice. See? I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And let me see. Verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. And it includes the law written in the hearts. The same law that Jeremiah kept, that he would have understood. Chapter 32, Jeremiah 32, verse 39 and 40. Jeremiah 32, verse 39 and 40. Then I will give, well, he says verse 38, they'll be my people, I'll be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, eternal, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. There's the new covenant. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 11. Here's the new covenant promised. What's it going to contain, kids? What's the new covenant going to have in it? Verse 19. Can't read all the verses. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. This is new covenant brought by Jesus. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Verse 20. To do what? To eat pork? Do away with the Sabbath and holy days? Laws are nailed to the cross? Is that what he's going to say? That they may walk in my statutes. Holy days are called statutes. And keep my judgments. So when you get a new heart and the Spirit within us, then we'll walk in the statutes and keep the judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Notice chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26 and 27. Now here's the new covenant. What does it contain? Contains the laws that you had in the Old Testament, only in the Spirit. You know, what is it in the Spirit? Well, it says you shall not commit adultery. What did Jesus say? You're not to look on a woman to lust. Is that doing away with the law? I mean, do you say, well, yeah, honey, I went to the prostitute, but you know I was thinking of you. You know, that's really going to impress your wife, right? No, you're not even to lust. Not to be looking at pornography. That's lusting. Did you hear Victor Kubik's sermon at the feast? That's the best sermon I've ever heard him give. The one that they broadcast to everybody. We went back, we listened to it a second time, I got a lot more out of it. But I mean, it's amazing. What, 60-some percent of men watch pornography? And 50% of ministers? Is that the new covenant? You know, when I was pastor in Nashville, when the so-called New Covenant was being introduced, one of the women told a friend, well, there's a man out where I live, and I'm talking about 1995, and the New Covenant was being introduced as doing away with the law, which this isn't. And this woman said to a friend in Worldwide Church of God there at the War Memorial Auditorium, well, there's a man out there who's been asking me to move in with him, and I haven't done it, but I'm thinking about doing it now. And the other woman was shocked and said, why are you going to do that? And she said, well, you know, the new covenant. Is that what the Bible teaches about the new covenant? Verse 26. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I guess I read that already. Chapter 37, verse 16. Chapter 37, verse 16. You know, I'm going to just skip that and go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi 3, verse 1. You know, I like to finish up within an hour, not counting all of the requesting of prayers for our pastor. I want to keep him. Although those of you who came to my retirement party might have heard that sermon. I said, they sent us a man who's 59 years old. They sent us a pastor with a short shelf life. So, we want to keep him as long as possible and not let the stress kill him. He's a great guy. And I'm concerned that he's willing like Roy Halladay and Denny Luker to work himself to death. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. That's speaking of John the Baptist, the Elijah, and the one who comes. But this is also the one who will come before the second coming of Jesus. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That's Jesus, the messenger of the covenant. And if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 8, I'm skipping a few verses to get to Hebrews 8. And we'll finish up in Hebrews 8. Ministers will often say my last verse. I gave a sermon one time, you probably don't remember it, and I started with saying, and now for my final verse. That's the way I opened this sermon, for my final verse. And then I went to another verse after that, and some people looked at me like, he said, we went back and finished with that same verse. So I started with it, and I finished with it. See, tricky, tricky. Hebrews 8, we'll start in verse 7, read verse 7 through 12. So there is hope. Thank you, kids, for keeping your eyes open. Appreciate it. I have those eyes back there, I could see them looking at me. Young men, yeah, absolutely. He just raised his hand. Thank you very much. Hebrews 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there is a fault with it, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, not with God's covenant, but with the people who promised to keep it and didn't. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. He's quoting Jeremiah here. That I already read to you. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them. The problem with the first covenant, did not have the Spirit of God in their hearts. The laws were the same. Basic. But in spirit. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. Young people, people who are not keeping the Sabbath, I said this before, but emphasis is repetition, and repetition is emphasis. People who say they are under the new covenant and are not keeping the Sabbath and the holy days are mistaken. They're not evil, they're just... Well, the word is ignorant, but sometimes that can be offensive. But they are ignorant. They're deceived by Satan. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, that is breaking the law, and their sins and their lawless deeds. Lawless deeds. I will remember no more. He'll forgive them for not keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. He'll forgive them for eating unclean meat. 17 seconds overtime.